It is complaints asking the court to recognize that environmental entities like the Colorado River have standing to enter into court and bring causes of action simply based on the fact that there are injuries and deprivations occurring to nature. Now, the way U.S. law is currently established is that you have to show injury to human beings in order to have what we call a colorable claim in state or federal court. In this case, what we're trying to establish or have the court decree is that natural entities, which we know we are damaging and which we know the damages that are occurring to natural entities are occurring also to human beings ultimately immediately and in the future, is that these courts recognize that damages and injuries and deprivations to natural entities like the Colorado River are cognizable because these natural entities have standing and they themselves have the right to exist and the right to flourish.
Now, this particular case that you're filing, it's against the state of Colorado. That's who is named as a defendant. As I said, there's a group of plaintiffs, some individuals, as well as groups, Deep Green Resistance and the Southwest Coalition, identifying the state of Colorado as the sole defendant. Colorado is only one of several states that draws water off the Colorado River, as well as Mexico as well. And when you look at the complex Colorado River Compact, why have you just selected the state of Colorado as the sole defendant in this case?
That's a fantastic question. First, I want to say that my hope is that the enlightened people of the state of Colorado will not view this. Unfortunately, we have to operate in the adversarial system. That's the way the legal system in the United States is established. But hopefully the enlightened people who I know care about the environment, who are currently with the state of Colorado, may see this as an opportunity to change the playing field and equal the playing field between natural entities that we all depend on, like the Colorado River, and, say, the entities, which can be corporations or the municipal entities or the agricultural entities, which are overdraining the river, that there will be a more equal playing field between natural entities and those entities who are taking from it, so that we can envision a new kind of law that will actually preserve the environment for all of us, and because we're all interdependent with one another. Now, the state of Colorado is listed here because they have been specifically involved, as the complaint enumerates, in the damming of the river, the breaking up of the river, in enabling corporations like Nestle to drain from the river and unnecessarily simply in the name of profit. So Colorado is the starting point, but I want to return back to what I was saying, is that there is we're aspirational here and hoping that Colorado actually says, wait a second, there's an opportunity to come to reasonable and pragmatic solutions with regard to how we treat a river that we know is in danger of extinction and that has the same name as our state. And maybe we can all work together to come to a solution here.
This seems to really hinge on this argument about how nature has its own intrinsic legal rights. How does that fit into the current legal framework, particularly in Western states?
Well, first, let's look at the around the world right now. This is a new and emerging law that's occurring in places like Colombia, Ecuador, India, New Zealand, where nature is now receiving standing. And what this has to do with is the fact that, as I said, is that to have a colorable claim in courts in American jurisprudence, you have to show an injury to a human being. Now, courts are intelligent, and we all know that the injuries to nature that are occurring are ultimately resulting in injuries to human beings. We're all part of the same biodynamic systems. And so the courts have been forced to be silent in many ways and in many cases in being compelled to dismiss cases for lack of standing that they know ultimately have to do with issues like global warming, the degradation of the environment, the poisoning of our environment, that are ultimately resulting in what many people believe and that I believe is a coming environmental crisis if we're not engaged in one already. So what this does is, based on real legal precedent that is being set around in the world in countries that I've already mentioned, it's saying that an injury to nature itself is cognizable. An injury to the Colorado River, which is already over-allocated and demanded upon at 120% of its current capacity, and that no longer reaches the sea, so the Gulf of Mexico, is if you, well, just use this as an example, is that if a corporation comes onto the Colorado River and solely in the name of profit starts to draw from it this entity that we already know is over-allocated, then there need to be real checks on this. And the way our law exists right now is we're not able to check that, because corporations and entities with all the resources to be able to manipulate the property regime that our law is based on currently, they can pretty much manipulate this regime in any way they want in order to generate profits based on nature, is unfair. And the playing field is unequal. So that what we do in granting or asking the courts to decree that nature and natural entities have standing is we equal that playing field and say that ultimately, as I said before, that when you damage nature itself, you do not have to show damage or injury to a human being, because that injury itself to nature is cognizable.